So on some level, shofar is well known to all of us. We've all heard the shofar. Some of you may actually be shofar blowers yourselves. We're all familiar with it. We've been hearing it since we were little kids. That's one of those mitzvahs where even the little kids come into shul. And at the same time, despite the fact that we're so familiar with it, in fact, there's a lot of halachic controversy about the shofar. There are actually discussions about many different parts of the mitzvah of shofar. What type of sounds need to be blasted? That's a discussion. How many sounds, how many kolos do we have to hear? That's a discussion. Why do we blow once before Musaf, once during Musaf? That's a discussion. Although none of those are what we're going to discuss. What I would like to discuss with you is something that I would suggest is perhaps even more profound, or at least more, I should say, not profound, that's the wrong word, more fundamental to the definition, to the essence of the mitzvah of shofar. And that is an issue which has many practical ramifications, many nafkamina, and as we'll see, I hope, in the first part of this year, on some level, there seems to be a very basic machlokus as to what the mitzvah is, and we'll see a very basic distinction that's made with a number of nafkamina. However, unlike probably many sugyas that we'll do together over the course of the year, which follow that pattern, here it's one of the interesting things, and I hope I'll be able to, we'll all stay on the same page. Even after we see the different perspectives, it's not clear how, quote unquote, true each of the perspectives are, in the sense that there really seems to be a tremendous amount of conflicting evidence, which will make it almost impossible for us to retain the assumptions we make in the first half of this year. But if I haven't completely confused you just yet, let's start with the Smakaroth, and hopefully we'll see in the first part of this year what's going on, and then we'll see why what we thought was going on needs a little bit more qualification and clarity. So perhaps the best place to start is the most famous source about this entire topic, and that is the discussion that the Rosh has towards the end of his comments on Masechta Rosh Hashanah. And the Rosh here discusses a very basic question, which is, what is the bracha on the mitzvah of shofar? We're all familiar with what the bracha is in terms of how we paskin halacha l'maisa. But, and I'm not going to ask anyone because I don't want anyone to be embarrassed if they get it wrong. It has been almost a year since you heard it last, so not everyone pays attention. But please God, after today's show, you'll never forget the answer. But even if it's clear now, it certainly was not clear in the time of the Rishonim. There's a major machlokas. And this can be found in a number of sources. But as I said, the most well-known source for this machlokas is the Rosh. And the Rosh says as follows. And he quotes none other than the great Rabbeinu Tam, the Bali of Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam Kosov. Sheish levarech al tkiya shofar mishum da'asiyasa hi gmar mitzvasa. First of all, how many things is Rabbeinu Tam saying? How many points is he making? He's making two. So for now, let's focus on his first point. His first and most basic point is, what is the mitzvah? What is the bracha? Al tkiyas shofar. We should make the bracha. Shekher Hashem says Zivanu. Al tkiyas shofar. Sounds reasonable enough. However, the Rosh continues, that there are others who disagreed. The Rav Yah, Hevia Yerushalmi, based on a nusach in the Yerushalmi, says no. Hatokeya b'shofar, Tzarech levarech, Shekher Hashem says Zivanu. Lishmoa bikol shofar, which is not identical to what we do, but very close. The focus is not on the tekiah, not on the tkoa, but rather on lishmoa, that we should hear. Furthermore, continues the Rosh at the end of the line, that the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, also says lishmoa. And in fact, the Rosh continues and gives a proof or two to this position, which he himself personally endorses. So it comes out from this discussion that it's kind of one on three. Rabbeinu Tam holds its focus, its tzkoa, on the tzkiah, and the other Rishonim, including the Rosh himself, holds that it should be lishmoa. I want to focus a little bit on the sheet of the Rambam. We focused most of last week's year on the Rambam, where we saw a contradiction. In this case, we don't have a contradiction in the words of the Rambam, but rather the Rambam in many, many places discusses this question, and he is in fact quite consistent about what the bracha should be. So for example, the Rambam, right in the beginning of towards the end of the third parak of Hilchos Shofar, on the second source on your sheet, the Rambam says very simply, what is the mitzvah, what is the bracha, lishmoa kol shofar. So now it's one on four. Rosh, the Rav Yoh, the Bahag, and the Rambam all say Lishmoa, but Rabbeinu Tam says Litzkoa. And I could add a few more sources to the Rambam side. We could find one or two people to help out the Rabbeinu Tam. But basically, that's the pattern which emerges even if we would scour 10 more sources. Majority of Rishonim hold the bracha is Lishmoa, but there's a strong minority with some very prominent proponents, Rabbeinu Tam, Mi Gadol Mei Rabbeinu Tam. But there's a minority view that holds that it would be on the tekiah. So all of that is what we were focusing on when I said the first point that Rush made, which is, what is the bracha? However, here we have something very interesting, and that is, in a certain sense, you can even call it a convenience, which is good to take advantage of, which is that much of our learning, some of you may have done it in high school, in the summer programs, and I know, since I know who your Rebbeim are, you'll be doing a lot of it this year, much of our learning, when we're learning, quote-unquote, Gemara, is not actually learning the Gemara, or even learning the Rishonim. It's digging that one step deeper to try to understand what's beneath the surface. If the Rambam says X, or the Rashi says Y, well, what might be something that underlies that? What is the focus? I remember when I was your age and Rav Yamar was my Rebbe, so he always used to speak about the Shoresh HaMachlokes, which is a nice Hebrew way of putting it. Right? So the Shoresh HaMachlokes is not necessarily what the Rambam and the Ravid actually said. It's digging deeper to know what is the root of the Machlokes. What's the underlying thing that they're really arguing about? I like to say that a lot of what we do in learning is detective work. Right? We're trying to figure out, looking for clues to try to figure out sometimes what's not said could be actually the most important thing. And sometimes that's the work of your Rebbe. Sometimes you might come up with something on your own. And very, very often, that's the work of the earlier Achronim that we're studying. Very often, a lot of what the Achronim are doing is trying to decode what is really going on in the Rishonim. However, there are times, not 100% unique, that's what we're going to do today, but it is not so common. There are times where we don't have to be such detectives. Even if you're not Sherlock Holmes, you can even figure out what's going on. Why? Because there are times where it's pretty clear in the Rishonim what the Shoresh HaMachlokes is, what the Lamdus is. We don't have to guess, we don't have to deduce. Sometimes they tell us. And this is a classic example, so it would seem, of that why. Because as I mentioned, and quite a few of you raised your hands, which I'm happy about, the Rush wasn't just saying what the mitzvah is, or what the bracha is. He wasn't just saying the bracha is Lishmoa. And Rabbeinu Tam wasn't just saying that the bracha is Letzkoa. But in the presentation of the Rush, and as we'll see in a moment, in the Rambam explicitly as well, they're not only telling you what the halacha is, and then leaving it up to us to figure out why, they tell us why. We don't have to guess. And in fact, what they tell us is something of great significance. And that is that this is not just an incidental detail. There's lots of halachas of shofar, some of which are very tedious, you could say, like any area of halacha. More details, you could call them the footnotes, the things in the fine, you know, in the small print. This is a very basic question, which is what I alluded to at the opening issue, which is, what is the mitzvah? Now, very obviously, we can imagine two possibilities. Because two things happen every year in shul when the shofar is blown. Number one is the shofar is blown. And number two is all of us hear the shofar being blown. Presumably the Baal Tokeah who blew the shofar will also hear the shofar being blown. Question, of course, is what is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to blow the shofar? Or is the mitzvah to hear the shofar? You can't get a more basic question than that. What is the mitzvah? We mentioned as an allusion, as an example last week, a more simple case, like lulav, right? The mitzvah is to pick up the lulav, to shake the lulav. That's the mitzvah. That's not complicated. Here it's a little bit complicated. Two things are happening. We're blowing the shofar and we're hearing the shofar. So which one is the mitzvah? Now each one, whichever one we say, that's A, going to lead to all sorts of nafkamina ramifications, and each one has its own set of problems that come along with it. Neither one of them are simple, but it's got to be one of them. I mean, unless someone has a third possibility, or a fourth possibility. So, one second, so here, a very basic question, the Rishonim seem to say that this question of what the nusach of the bracha is, lishmoa or litzkoa, is very much directly dependent on this more basic question. Rabbeinu Tam, the opening words we read. We didn't focus on it, but I'm glad many, if not most of you, picked up on this. Rabbeinu Tam, as he's quoted by the Rush, tells us not just that the bracha is litzkoa or altkias, but rather why? Mishum da'asiyasa higmara mitzvasa. The act, the asiyah, the act of blowing the shofar, that is the mitzvah. That's the gmar mitzvah. That's the end. The act of the blowing of the shofar is the mitzvah. So of course, the nusach of the bracha is going to reflect in its language what the purpose of what the mitzvah was. If the mitzvah is litzkoa, it would make no sense to say lishmoa. That's not the mitzvah. Asher kirishanov mitzvah vitzivano. What did you command us? What action? You're commanded to blow the shofar, therefore the nusach of the bracha is to blow the shofar. And the Rosh disagreed. And the Rosh had said, no, it's lishmoa. Why? So take a look at the second part of the underlined of the Rosh. We didn't read this yet. Mishum de bishmias kol shofar hu yotze. Velo b'tkiya shofar. It can't be more explicit than this. We don't need to be Rabbi Akiva Eiger. We don't need to have Reb Chaim Brisker or anybody be some super detective to figure out what's the shorash ha-machlokes about what bracha you make. The Rosh tells you. There's a fundamental argument. What is the mitzvah? Rabbeinu Tam holds it's blowing the shofar. So that's reflected by the Nusach HaBracha in his opinion. But the Rosh, and presumably everybody who agrees with the Rosh, holds no. Of course you have to blow the shofar because you can't hear it if you don't blow it. But it's not the act of blowing which is the mitzvah. It's hearing the sounds that were produced by that act which is the mitzvah. And therefore, says the Rosh, obviously it follows that the Nusach HaBracha reflects what the mitzvah is. And in his opinion, and the majority opinion, it is the act of hearing. Not only is this in the Rosh, but I want to point out that the Rambam, again, we don't need Reb Chaim Brisker and fancy Torahs. It seems to be straightforward. The Rambam is clear in multiple sources. So for example, if you take a look in that second Rambam, he says, the mitzvah saseh shel Torah lishmoa truas shofar. Right? Couldn't be more clear. Who's the Rambam holding like? Holding like the Rosh. And we're not at all surprised. Just like the Rosh said the mitzvah is lishmoa, the Rambam said the mitzvah is lishmoa. And just like the Rosh says that the bracha is al shmiya, lishmoa, so too the Rambam says the bracha is lishmoa. And it's not a coincidence. And all these things go perfectly hand in hand. Because according to them, the bracha is to hear. Therefore, the nusach of the mitzvah is to hear. Therefore, the bracha is lishmoa. Which is an interesting thing, and I'll take questions in a moment. But I could have given you other Rambams as well, because he's perfectly consistent on this. But aside from what we usually see, and we spoke about this last week, we have the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, sometimes the Rambam in the Parashah Mishnayos, his commentary on the Mishnah, but there is a lesser known, and it's not objectively as important, and it's not doesn't have as many things that are as relevant to us, it's certainly not as big, but there is a volume, actually different versions of the volume, of Tshuvas of the Rambam. There's a Shut HaRambam. And one of the more well-known Tshuvos of the Rambam is where he was asked this question: what's the nusach of the shofar blowing? And anyway, what's the difference anyway? You know, what's the difference? And the Rambam, as if he was talking right to us, is explicit. I mean, it's so clear. It's like, you know, sometimes we break our teeth on a Rambam. This is not one of those. This is like a pleasure, easy read. The Rambam says very clearly, Hatshuva, what is the answer to your question? I have Del Bein Ahem Gadol Mayo. There's a big difference. Of course there's a difference what nusach you make. Because there's a fundamental difference about what the mitzvah is. And says the Rambam, you cannot be clearer. The mitzvah is to hear, not to blow the shofar. And then the Rambam gives a proof. It's a proof we're going to come back to. Says the Rambam, and maybe this is something that some of you are already thinking about. If the mitzvah was to blow the shofar, says the Rambam, so what's the very simple question? What would be the problem with that? Yeah, did you blow the shofar this year? I didn't. I never blew a shofar. My father's good at it, but it's one of the many things he's good at that I'm not. I can't blow a shofar.
Can't do it for you?
So the Rambam apparently assumed not, because he says the fact that we don't all blow shofar is a, which is, you know, even the Rambam wasn't really seriously considering that. He knew that was, it was no more likely in his time than it is in our time that everyone could blow a shofar.
Also,
so the Rambam says the fact that we don't all have to blow shofar, for example, like we all have to shake lulav, says Rambam, that's a proof. Now we'll get back to whether there's an answer to that question, because after all, who's going to have to answer that question?
Rabbeinu Tam,
right? Rabbeinu Tam also knew how to learn. Rabbeinu Tam may also not have had to blow out a shofar for himself. We don't have any historical documents that, as far as I know, Rabbeinu Tam blew the shofar himself. So we'll have to figure that out. But I want to just make the point that the Rambam says as a proof, of course you see from this that it must be hearing the shofar. And everyone, including the same guy who blew the shofar, hears the shofar. So that's the mitzvah. We all do it ourselves. We all hear the shofar. That's the mitzvah. And then he, just read the last line, he says, Ein anu tokin elekei l'shma. The blowing is not because the mitzvah is to blow. The blowing is so that we can hear. Kamosha mitzvah yeshiva ha-sukkah lo-asiyasa. And he gives an analogy. We make a sukkah, then we sit in it. The mitzvah isn't the making of the sukkah. We make the sukkah so that we can sit in it. Ein anu osin elekei l'yashev. V'lo nevarach l'yashev. And therefore, that's why the bracha reflects the mitzvah. The bracha is not al asiyas sukkah; it's leishev sukkah. So, to here also, we make the bracha of lishmoa v'lo nevarich al tikiya. Tikiya, by using this analogy, this is a very strong language of the Rambam here. He, in essence, is equating the two, calling them both. In essence, who knows what the halachic term for this is? If you do one thing, but it's really just to enable the second. Hechsher, excellent, very good. It's a Hechsher mitzvah. You thought the mitzvah was blowing the shofar. No! That's just the preamble. That's just the pre-mitzvah. That's the Hechsher, the preparation. Just like building the sukkah is no bracha, no mitzvah. Right, what does every shul do? Right, to get the handyman to build the sukkah. Right, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is sitting in the sukkah. So there's a discussion about who puts on the schach, that's a chumrah. If we had shear through sukkahs, I would discuss that with you, but I don't think we'd have time to get to that kind of topic between now and the end of Elul. But be that as it may, the Rambam's point is clear. How do we paskin? Well, you all know how we paskin, because you all go to shul every year, and the Shulchan Aruch tells us explicitly, which again is the position of Rov Rishonim, the Rosh, the Rambam, etc. So at this point, and I'm going to take the questions literally in a minute now, at this point we have two points which seem to be very clear. Number one is that there is a machlokes, what the mitzvah is the mitzvah to hear or to blow the shofar? And so far we've seen very clearly one nafkamina, what is going to be the nesach bracha. So what I'm going to do in a second after, if there are questions, is I want to show you one or two other nafkaminas of this question, and all of that will be the easy part of the shir. And then, since you guys are in shalavim, at a very high level, then we're going to go to the little bit more complicated and a little bit more tricky part of the shiur. I know it's early in Elul, but you guys hit the ground running. Okay, who had questions? Yes?
Just to be clear, when the Talmud says using alt tikiya, not with kosher, right?
Correct. Why you would do alt tikiyas versus litkoa is not an issue at all for today's shiur. That happens to be a discussion some of you may have learned at the beginning of Masechet Pesachim. There's a huge discussion, very well known, in the first paragraph of Masechet Pesachim, in the Gemara itself, about le versus al, right? Because we say al b'dikas chametz, and that's the context there. And there is a huge debate in the Rishonim, what is the rule of thumb? Because after all, we all know that there are some brachos where we say lahadlik, lishmoa, and then other times where we say al. So why it should be le or al is an interesting question, but not related. I don't think so. Any other questions? Or other hands, for sure, yeah. Not everyone does.
Like
if the mitzvah would have been to blow, then everyone would have to blow. So we're going to see. Well, I said for a minute we're going to have to see our answers to the Rambam's question, but the Rambam apparently didn't think so, because or else it would make no sense what he said. The shaila is whether Rabbi Natan would think so. The Rambam apparently holds you can't have a shliach. Okay, now, the truth is, and perhaps later in the year we'll have a shiur just on this topic of shliach, but you all know, right, there are some mitzvahs where you can have a shliach, and some mitzvahs where you can't have a shliach. You don't have to be lamdonim or tamid chachamim, we just know this from personal experience. Right? There are lots of things where we have a shliach do things. And there are other, I spent most of my first year in Shalvim trying to find the source for the makor that I could have a shliach wake up and have a minion for me. Right, because I'm not a morning person. I would be happy to learn till 3 in the morning and then sleep till 10. That's how my body naturally works. Right, the yeshiva didn't really go for it. So I said, I got a shliach to put on tefillin for me. I got a shliach to not go to minyan. And he says, you can't do that. Why? I can have a shliach to also do other things. So that's its own meta topic. When is shlichus allowed? When is it not? But you're right, it relates to this point, because clearly the Rambam seems to be assuming that it doesn't. The question is, well, why not? Yeah.
We have
So that's the question. What is the mitzvah of Megillah? What is the mitzvah of the Megillah? There are, we'll see some of the sources. Some of them. I mean, we're not going to discuss the Megillah now. We can discuss that when it gets to Purim. But that is itself a debate. What is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah the reading of the Megillah or hearing? That's exactly the question. Any other questions before we continue? Okay, so let's see some other nafkaminas. Who is familiar with the term mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho? Anyone here know that, what that means? Yeah, what is that? Close. Yeah. Very good. Say that a little louder. But even when the shliach can work, we're not talking about a mitzvah that a shliach can't work. Even when a mitzvah a shliach can work, says the Gemara in Masechta Kedushin, in the beginning of the second parak, it's always better to do a mitzvah yourself. So here's my question for you. Raise your hand, by a show of hands, how many people here blow shofar? It's an elite group. It's an elite group. We have two, three? Okay, well, I have a shofar here, so we're going to test you. No, I'm going to take you over. So we have three. How many? We have three or just any more than three? Okay, so... Come on! Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. Rav Hendler's Sicha is going to be to pick who the Baal Tokeh is for the year, so it's good. Right before I leave, I'm giving him the names. Okay, so let's say we have, you know, this is probably a typical group, right? You could have 50 people and like 4 or 5 blow shofar. So here's my question. The rest of us, myself included, don't know how to blow shofar, so we're certainly going to listen, and that's going to be the best we can do. The question is, if you know how to blow shofar, would we apply the category of mitzvah bo yosar mi b'shlucho to you and say to you, well, listen, even though you didn't get picked to be the Baal Tokeh in Shalavim, I mean, after all, you are a first-year American, that's two strikes against you. But, you know, maybe, if you stay around long enough, maybe they'll let you. But the bottom line is, you're not going to be the Baal Tokeh in yeshiva this year, I don't think. But maybe you should step out when they're blowing shofar, go back to your dorm room, blow the shofar yourself. After all, mitzvah bo yosar mi b'shlucho. I could fulfill it with the guy in the bima, but if I know how to do it myself, isn't it better for me to do it myself? Do we say such a thing? Should we say such a thing? And does that in any way relate to the bigger topic we're discussing, which is what is the mitzvah of shofar? What do you think?
The mitzvah is to listen, but you're doing it anyway. You are doing it.
Excellent. Remind me your first name again?
Danny.
Okay, good. So everyone hear what Danny said? What Danny said is in fact what the Mata Ephraim said. He was mechavan to you. We'll just fast forward 200 years and we're all good. Time travel, we're just around the corner. The Mata Ephraim, Rav Ephraim Zalman Margolios, who was a great, great Talmud Chacham, and his sefer Mata Ephraim, which is primarily on halachos of Chodesh Tishrei, one of the classics, Mishnah Brura quotes it, other people quote it. The Mata Ephraim is one of the earliest people to raise this question. And he decidedly says, we do not say mitzvah bo yosar mi b'shlucho. Meaning, again, to be clear, even if you're one of the five guys who does know how to blow shofar, there's no hitter, there's no preference to blow yourself. Doesn't matter if you blow, someone else blows. And he doesn't just say that, but then he tells us why. This is exactly what Danny said. Take a look inside by number 3. We're going to get back to number 2 in a second. Number 3 says, the Mata Ephraim, Ein bezeh mishum mitzvah yosar mi b'shlucho, ki ikar ha-mitzvah b'shmias ha-tekiyah, ein chilek ben shmias tekiyas atzmo, o acher. So he holds very good, explicitly, the Rambam and the Rosh, etc. Since the mitzvah is to hear the shofar, if the mitzvah is to hear the shofar, then I'm hearing the shofar. Whether you blow or I blow, I'm hearing the shofar. I'm hearing the same thing. Even the Baal Tokeh is hearing the shofar. And he says, who cares who produced the sound? The ikar is to hear the sound. And I, personally, mitzvah bo, I did it myself. I heard the shofar. What's the difference who blew? I didn't put it on the sheet, because you know there were some, not many, but there were some poskim who disagreed. There's a tshuva sefer, a very, very multi-volume tshuva sefer called the Tshuvas Shoel Umeshiv. Pretty straightforward name, ask and answer. That's good for a tshuva sefer where people asked and he answered. The Tshuvas Shoel Umeshiv, so he disagreed. And he says he doesn't see why there should be any difference between this mitzvah and all the other mitzvahs where we say mitzvah v'yosef v'shlucho. Now, the Mata Ephraim has a good reason to be mechalik. But you can, presumably we can deduce, and here we can be a little bit of a detective, the fact that the Shoel Umeshiv feels that you should say mitzvah yosar mi b'shlucho likely points to his holding, like Rabbeinu Tam, that it's really the blowing of the shofar which is the mitzvah. Let's go back to number 2 for a moment. Here I want to focus on it in particular, not only because it's an important, it's a well-known discussion, but also because it brings us back to the Rambam. The Rambam discusses the following question. Let's say you're about to blow the shofar and you realize, oh my gosh, there's a big crack. My shofar is cracked, it's not going to work, no sound is coming out of it. But My roommate, I remember, he was also blowing. He wasn't as good as me, and that's why I'm the blower, and he's not. But he has a chauffeur back in his... And you go, and you take it without permission. That's a nice way of saying you steal the chauffeur. Chauffeur ha-gozel. You steal a chauffeur. Can you fulfill a mitzvah with a stolen chauffeur? Now, in general, we're not supposed to be fulfilling mitzvos via theft. What is that category in halacha called? Right, that's not a good thing. It's a no-no. It may not be officially on the rules from Shalvin, but you shouldn't do it anyway. Even if it's not on the rules. Mitzvah bav aveira is a bad thing, right? You're not yotzei the mitzvah, presumably. So what about if you blow shofar? So the Rambam says, if you take a look at number two, shofar ha-gozel shetaka blow, yotzei. The Rambam says you're yotzei. And not all Rishonim agree with this. Those of you who said you're Yotzei were correct, according to the Rambam. But others disagree. For example, the Hagos HaShri, below, says Shofar HaGozel Pasul. And he doesn't even explain it, because why should you explain it? It's pretty obvious. Mitzvah Aveira, you did an Aveira, you stole. You can't do a Mitzvah. You can't do a Mitzvah, you can't shake Lulav if it's a stolen Lulav. Lulav HaGozel is a whole parak like that. They're a parak of Masech HaSukkah. So why should it be any difference, says Hagos HaShri? Shofar HaGozel is also going to be Pasul. So, if you continue in the Rambam has to explain himself, right? The Rambam needs a little bit, is in the more defensive position here. The Rambam is telling us a chiddush. The Rambam is not recommending it. The Rambam is not going to give the person, you know, camper of the year. He's not going to give him Machter Yonah. It's not a good thing. But technically speaking, says the Rambam, you yotzei the mitzvah. It's hard for me to imagine. Just take a step for a moment. I mean, we all know how solemn, right, and how special, and even something to say to them, even almost how scary that moment of Tkiyah Shofar is. You can only imagine what it's going to be like in yeshiva. It's going to be magnificent. But can you imagine yeshiva, you know, shofar, and you're blowing a stolen shofar? Like, I don't even know how a person could do such a thing. But okay, a person did it. Not everyone, you know, certain people are so narcissistic that they don't have a conscience.
Where is Namashavi?
Huh? I'm not sure. I mean, it's, of course, the Rambam, I mean, for sure, would be yotzei, because he's going to be amazed. Would other people, would the Hagos HaShri disagree? Change his mind? I don't think so, but I can't say I know for sure. So the Rambam continues. The Rambam is the one who's on the defensive. The Rambam says, you are yotzei. Wow! What about Mitzvah Bava Aveira? What happened to that? So go back. The Rambam says, number two, Shofar HaGozel Shetaka Bo Yotzei, She'ein HaMitzvah Ela B'Shmi'as Kol. The mitzvah isn't the shofar, he seems to be saying. It's the voice that comes from the shofar, the sound. And if you skip to the end of the line, he says, and when it comes to sound, ein b'kol din gezel. This is a technicality. But because sound is not tangible, it's not physical, you can't steal sound. And since the mitzvah is the sound, there's no din of mitzvah bav aveira. Now, you pretty much already know where we're going with this. But we just need one more piece so that we can really be golden. And that is the category of mitzvah bav aveira. What does that mean? So Rav Soloveitchik was famous for quoting from his grandfather, from Reb Chaim, and I gave you one, it's quoted in a number of Svarim, but I gave you one version of it in Rav Shechter's Sefer called Eretz HaTzvi. Rav Shechter quotes that he heard from Rav Soloveitchik, was that from his grandfather, that what it means to be mitzvah bav aveira, what that means is, if you have an object that was stolen, that object, that chefza, it has the status as a stolen object. You are a thief if you stole it, but beyond being a thief, there's a certain, it's kind of like a certain film, or a certain, you know, go to the dentist and he says, you know, have you been flossing? And how did you know that I wasn't flossing? He says, well, because there's lots of what on your teeth. Right? It's like a plaque, right? So, Geneva, being a stolen object, it's like a plaque. It attaches to the object. So, Reb Chaim, it's not just that you're a thief. The object itself has the status of a chefta shel aveira. It has a certain film or plaque attached to it. And an object, which is known as a chefta of aveira, that's abhorrent. That can't be used for a mitzvah. Now, the reason I mention that to you is because it's not obvious that that's really the definition of a mitzvah of aveira. Could be the Tosfos, among others, disagrees. But that seems to be the Rav Chaim, the brisker approach, and certain sources in the Rambam that indicate that. One of the sources is the one we just saw. Namely, the Rambam is clear. Why can you use, technically, again, we're not promoting it, but why can you technically use a stolen shofar? Because what would be the problem? Mitzvah b'avera, you all raised your hand. What does mitzvah b'avera mean? It means that the object has a certain status as an object of sin, which can't be then used, converted into a mitzvah. You can't launder it and make it into a mitzvah. It's an object of sin, a chafta b'avera. But says the Rambam explicitly, now when we read his words, they jump off the page. What's the object of the mitzvah in shofar? It's not the shofar. In the Hanami, the Rambam would agree, the shofar has the status of a chafta of avera. But for our purposes, who cares? Because the mitzvah object is not the shofar. The mitzvah object is the sound that the shofar produced. Well, okay, then call the sound gezel. Oh, says the Rambam, ein b'kol din gezel. There's a loophole. In theory, you're right, but you're not right. You'd be right if you weren't wrong. In theory, that would be true. But since it happens to be technicality, you can't. There's no object about which we could say that the plaque stuck to it. It's not tangible. Therefore, technically, you get out of it. Now, you need to make two assumptions to understand this. First of all, what mitzvah avera, but more importantly, for our purposes, you need to make a certain assumption about that it's the sound, it's the mitzvah. The Hagos Ashri may agree that that's the definition of mitzvah b'avera, and he still may say you can't use a shofar that's stolen. Why? Well, because if you believe that the mitzvah is the blowing, then the shofar is the cheftza of the mitzvah, and a cheftza that was an avera can't be used as a cheftza shel mitzvah. Okay? So far we have the easy part of the shir. Now we have a little bit of time left. 20 minutes, right? We end at 7, right? Oh, I'll see. You're right. Okay. Oh, 6:45. I guess it won't be the second half of this year. It'll be the last 5 minutes of this year. So let me just tell you very quickly. I'll leave you the source sheet so you can see it all by yourself. But I'll tell you outside, very quickly, what we had in the Sikhaz at 6:45? Wow, this moves fast. Okay, we really have to finish now then. So I'll tell you very quickly. The bottom line is that there are lots of sources. I'm going to leave you in a minute because I know that they want you to be on time for this. There are lots of sources that indicate opposite things. And so everything we've been saying is nice in theory. The problem is that there are Gemaras that contradict both sources. So for example, the Gemara says that if you blow into a bore, a pit, and you hear the echo of the sound, you're not Yotzer. That's a Gemara. No one can argue on that Gemara. But if you hold that this is blowing, then who cares that you heard the echo? I blew. That's a big Shailon Rabbeinu Tam. On the other hand, we also paskin that the only people who can blow the shofar are people who are mechuyav, a bar chayuva. A katan, for example, a child, can't blow a shofar. Well, why not? Who cares that he blew the shofar? But the sound that I heard, and I'm a bar mitzvah, who cares who produced it if the whole mitzvah is to hear and I heard? So there's lots of questions on the different approaches. Within the discussion, I wish we had more time, I apologize, we would have discussed, well, some rishonim hold that the issue of shlichas may work. Some say it's not shlichus, it's something called Shemaya Ka'ona. Maybe the shofar is really a form of prayer. And if the shofar is a form of prayer, then just like you can daven and someone could listen, Chazar Sashatz, Kriya Satorah, perhaps Shemaya Ka'ona is relevant to shofar as well, which is a fascinating phenomenon. That shofar, that sound is like the inaudible, the inarticulable prayer. Certain thoughts we can't put into words. I have a whole mahzer, but there are certain primal things we want to say to Hashem that are no words for. That could be the shofar. And finally, to mention, if you turn over the page, the last few sources I was going to mention, the Shagas Aryeh and of Salvechik there, again, once again in a letter quoting his grandfather, suggest there are other possible solutions to some of these questions, but I'll leave you with the following, which is that at least according to the Shagas Aryeh and Reb Chaim and apparently others, it seems that the answer to how we put it all together is that they're both true. Perhaps it's really a combination of both, that everything we've been doing until now has really been a false choice. They're both true. That it's the blowing and the hearing. How do I fulfill the blowing? I didn't blow, you blew. Maybe that's Shemaya Kona, maybe that's Shlichus. But either way, I need to hear and I need to blow. Maybe one I'll do with you, via you, one I'll do by myself, but I have to do both. And particularly, what Reb Chaim added, which is Dafka, I wanted to put this in because it'll remind you of what we saw last week from Rav Soloveitchik. And it's not cliche, not every sugya does Rav Chaim analyze the same way, but here we have two cases where he does say the same thing. that's a misnomer, it's not true, but in this case he does. Said Reb Chaim, it's not just stam, they're both true, but specifically, the shofar is the blowing, excuse me, is the maisa mitzvah, but the kiyum ha-mitzvah is the hearing. Just like we said that the maisa mitzvah last week was the vidui, but the kiyum was something in your heart. So too, in a similar parallel way, Chaim said, with all these Gemaras, you can't say it's one or the other. It's just impossible. It seems to be that you have to say both, and they're not redundant. They each play their role. The blowing of the shofar is the Maisa Mitzvah, but that's not enough. The cha-ching, as we called it last week, that real fulfillment of the Mitzvah, the Kiyum, that he suggests everyone would agree, is really the Kiyum, a Mitzvah that is the Shmiah, what you hear. All right, enjoy the Sikha.